The classic American musical Fiddler on the Roof is currently running on Barrington Stage's main stage through July 4th. Well, currently we're running, but then when we're off, then they'll come back, and they're going to run through July 14th. We're only here till noon.
The production, and I say a wonderful production, which I saw and loved, is directed and choreographed by Gary John LaRosa with musical direction by Darren R. Cohen. We are thrilled to be joined by the actors playing Tevye and Yenta, the matchmaker in the show, Brad Oscar and Rachel Koloff.
Brad Oscar's Broadway credits include a few little shows you may have heard of, The Addams Family, The Producers, Spamalot. I saw you in those. Jekyll and Hyde and Aspects of Love, I did not.
Rachel Koloff joins us with similarly impressive credits. Recently, she was in the Encore, in the Encore's production of Merrily We Roll Along on Broadway. She was in Lestat, Candide, Urinetown, and more.
Brad, Rachel, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you both here.
My pleasure.
Good morning.
What is it like to take over this stage for an extended run like this?
It's lovely. It's a beautiful space. You know, I think most actors love performing in a theater where you can even see, you know, the eyes of the person in the last row of the mezzanine, of the balcony. So it just creates an intimacy between the actors and the audience. And for, you know, most plays and musicals, which are an exchange of energy, if you will, with that group of people, it's certainly nice to have them, you know, so present with us.
Yeah. I can really feel it right in the first scene. It took me a couple of days to sort of figure it out, but, you know, they're right there. And if you give them a chance to take you in and you give them a chance to laugh without moving on, they do respond. And you can hear it very clearly and very easily because they're so close. And
now, in one scene, there was a ghost scene. Right? Yes. And you come
the dream.
In, but you're much taller than you are regularly. Were you on somebody's shoulders or something like that?
No, that's Rebecca Stavis that plays Frumastera. And she is on an actor's shoulders, and she's a tall woman anyway. And she has a very large set of pearls. You cannot miss them. Like, they can see them in New Jersey. They're huge.
Is that a euphemism? No.
No, literally. She has
literally.
A huge set of pearls.
Great. Yes,
they're huge. A huge set of pearls, and she wants her other pearls back, and that's why she gets very angry that Laser Wolf might be marrying Seidel.
Brad, you were just phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal in the play. You just stood out. Everybody was great, but you were just as fine a lead as I have ever seen in this play, and I've seen it so many times. I just can't get over it. Roselle and I walked out of here. We had tears in our eyes, and we had tears in our eyes for 15 minutes, you know, or half an hour after the show. It was it's a musical. It has comedic moments, but it's a very serious play, and that's what I loved about it.
Yeah. No, it's been certainly the biggest challenge, I think, that I have encountered as an actor, because it does run that gamut, you know. Certainly there is the musical comedy aspect to the play, to the role, being larger than life in that way. But then the flip side is that most of Act Two, you know, is about the destruction of this family, if you will, the separation. And
the reason we're all here.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, totally. It is. And it so, yes, it has been quite a challenge as an actor to tackle that, to find that, to find the truth in that, to play it every night, and how it resonates with my own history, you know, as a Jew whose grandparents were from that part of the world.
So do you get in touch with that while you're doing the role?
Well, I mean, it's something that I started to think about a lot during rehearsals. You know, we had a wonderful director who gave us so much information about the time and the place, so that those people who didn't necessarily know, or the generation behind us, the kids as we refer to them on stage with us, you know, I mean, they're even further removed than we are. But yes, I did, of course, think about that. And it does resonate in that way that, that, you know, I hope informs, you know, you put everything in the blender and hope it all comes out as one, you know, one performance, one man.
Have your folks seen this?
Yes, they have.
What did they say?
Yes, they have. They loved it. They, yes.
Did they?
Yes.
Did they cry?
Yes.
They said they cried.
I believe they cried, and I believe they cried for the right reasons. Yes.
So that's good. That's always
yes,
good.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
When you, Julianne was talking with us about this earlier, about actors wanting to come here for roles that stretch them that they wouldn't normally do, or and to give something a shot.
Sure.
And she mentioned you in particular of something that you have thought about and loved this role since you were a little kid. So obviously you want your own take on it, but obviously you've seen many other productions.
Sure.
Of it. So how do you kind of sift through all that?
Well, again, it's that sort of what I just mentioned about the blender. You know, we come to these projects with our own history of sort of what we've seen, other performances. But I think the rehearsal process is about then finding what works for you, finding, you know, my Tevye. Yes, of course, the echoes of whether it's, you know, just Zero Mostel from the original cast album, or the performances I've seen, or the productions I've seen. But to then distill all of that, and as you work on the play, and the play becomes about, you know, each scene is about what it's about. And then as an actor, you just have to play that intention, play that goal. And sure, I'd be a fool to say that you're not going to steal, or at least be aware of what has been done that has worked so beautifully. You know, I had the similar case, of course, when I was covering Nathan Lane and The Producers.
Right.
You know, there was a performance that in its own way was so iconic, so beautifully molded and shaped and so funny and everything. So, of course, you know, you'd be a fool to try to make it better or find a different way of doing it that certainly would not be as effective.
Did you ever have to do it?
Oh yeah, I did it plenty of times, and then I took over. So yeah, and then then it was able to become my own because I was doing it 8 times a week, and so it became mine.
Yeah,
but you know, but I think we, you know, as actors, again, this is all we have to work with. It's our body, our voice, our physicality, our ideas, our emotions, and all that. So so yeah, you try
to put
it all together.
How'd you learn to do this? Did you go to school for it?
I did. I mean, I'd been doing it since I was a kid, and then I went to Boston University, actually, into their fine arts program, and yeah, then moved to the city and started waiting tables.
That is the
like
path.
You do.
That yes. is the path. Just real quick on The Producers, I'm just curious as to, because you were in that show from the ground up.
Yes.
And that show fascinates me because I saw your production of it. I saw the original Broadway cast production of it. I saw it on the road in Los Angeles with Martin Short and Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interesting show because you would think the wild popularity that it had, it seemed to close rather quickly. And I wonder, do you know what it is about that didn't sort of resonate for a long haul of being able to, say, be the longest-running musical on Broadway? Because initially it seemed like it would have those legs.
Yeah, and it did have a 6-year run.
I mean, yes.
Everyone sort of forget, you know, in that respect. I think, and a 6-year run back in the day was huge. I mean, the original Fiddler ran from what, 64 to 71 or 72. So it ran slightly longer in that
yeah.
respect. But now we live in the day and age when these mega musicals, these, you know, the big pop operas, whether it's a Les Mis or a Phantom or whatever, they have Mamma Mia, of course.
It's awful.
But, you know, they have a universal appeal that goes beyond language, that goes beyond certain things. The Producers is a classic American musical comedy. It is going to have at some point a more limited appeal than Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
It just is. That's just sort of the way it is. I don't think it's any reflection on the quality of the work. I just think it's the nature of the beast in that respect.
Well, now that you raise that, the ethnic issue of Mamma Mia, Italian, Fiddler, Jewish, is that something that is now de rigueur in theater in order to get people's fannies into the seats?
Would what be
the whole ethnic connection?
The ethnic connection, meaning, you know, if it's going to be,
meaning if you're an Italian, you want to see this. If you're Jewish, you want to see Fiddler.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the revival, and after Alfred Molina left, Harvey Fierstein came in,
yeah.
and it put butts in seats. It certainly did, and they were mostly Jewish butts, and because they wanted to see Harvey do the role, and he was great. He really was. He just looked so fantastic. And he, you know, he's not a singer, but he just gave you his Tevye. And it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And the audiences really responded. And that's part of it. I do think that there is this idea out there that if you're going to be authentic, have an authentic fiddler, people need to be Jewish. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell was in that production.
She certainly was. Yeah. And
she's not Jewish?
She is not.
No, not
Jewish.
Anymore. Yeah.
She's not,
not
Jewish.
Anymore.
Yes, she's not Jewish.
So after this, what are you? What's on your plate, Rachel? Do you think that far ahead, or what?
I would like to. I think right after this, I'm going to go to Mass Mocha again. That's exactly
there you
what
go.
I'm doing.
Okay, excellent. and acting wise, I mean, do you say, okay, summer I'm going to be working in these particular stages, or?
Yeah, I mean, well, no, I don't, you know, when the jobs come, that's where I go. I, at the moment, do not have another gig coming up, as they say.
Yes, and me as well. I'll be unemployed in 2.5 weeks.
Yes, I will be unemployed in 2.5 weeks.
What will actors do now that Law & Order isn't around anymore?
Well, we have a couple more now. We have The
Good Wife.
Several shows that shoot in New York.
So Person of Interest.
Smash.
There are lots
of... Smash. Nurse Jackie.
There's a lot of really great television shows out there to, you know, to
Nurse
be part
Jackie.
Of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Boardwalk Empire.
Edie
Falco. I love that.
Isn't that a great show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrific show.
When you look and you think, okay, we're going to do this for 2 more weeks, is it endurance, or are you still trying to bring something to it, or do you, because I would think that could get in your head and really just knock you around a little bit in the sense of, okay, I've done this, and now this is what I'm doing, so I maintain that, right?
To an extent, sure, but it lives and breathes every night, and with a piece like this, with a role like this, and a relatively short rehearsal period that we had, just
right.
under 3 weeks, I believe, it's still changing and growing for me every night. I mean, it's still every night is its own experience.
Can
yes,
you give us an example of that?
It's hard to give an example necessarily. It's just the way it sort of settles in and breathes, and all of a sudden, it just, I think you can bring more colors to the role because it starts to become a little more organic. The muscle memory kicks in. I don't have to work as hard in many ways because my body knows where we're going, what the evening is about. And that allows, I think that opens up in many ways, for me anyway, other possibilities, other, you know, ways of perhaps playing a scene or a moment. And I don't necessarily think a lot of this would be that an audience would necessarily recognize
when
a lot of that.
When you're faced,
I was going to say, I recognize it. I mean, I have a lot of offstage time. A lot. But I listen to the show, and he keeps it pretty fresh. I think he brings new stuff to it.
Do you have any matchmaker in your soul?
Any matchmaker in my soul? I do, kind of. You know,
set up people, because that's the role you play here.
Yeah, well, I have tried to encourage certain people to drop hankies in front of other certain people. I think it's also just kind of maybe the maternal instinct in me. You should. Do you like her? You should drop a hanky. You should let her know. Do you like him? You know, drop a line. I don't know. Yeah, I try a little bit. But I just want to say, I think Brad keeps it fresh. And it's very interesting just to see also how a different audience changes.
Sure,
what
the
you
audiences
do.
As well affect, of course. Yeah,
yeah, that's what keeps it exciting, because it's a live audience and they're different, so you're different.
Now, Brad, when you're imploring God, and you're looking up and saying, on the one hand, on the other hand, on the one hand, on the other hand. You know, we've all read about method acting. Is there something that you bring to that when you're doing it? Because you were so good at it. Is there something that you hang on to in order to do it well?
Gosh, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, he's another character in the play for me, basically, you know, and it's a touchstone in many ways for Tevye, because I think here is someone, what I love about Tevye is how progressive he is in many ways, how he is indeed able to see beyond this own this little world that, that, that he inhabits, which he loves, which he is
indeed,
a, which is a very strong part of, and is so much a fabric of his life. But he is aware enough, and he is loving enough and open enough in many ways to a fault and to a point, of course. And so I think that that connection that I have established with, as I like to refer to it, the exit sign, because that's sort of where I look every night. So, that's my touchstone. That's my, you know, rock, if you will, as Tevye, from which around everything else spins. And that's the place I can always come back to for whatever it might be at the moment, whether it's comfort or some kind of advice. I mean, I think, you know, on the other hand, this, on the other hand, that is, it's that conversation that I'm having with this higher being, albeit with myself, of course, but yeah, but it's a lovely, it's one of the parts of the role that I do love, is having that connection, having that higher power that sort of goes above and beyond the relationship I have with the characters on stage.
I also think it's sort of quintessentially Jewish that we try to analyze it and work it out. Well, it could be this, but it could be that, or this and that. Well, on the one hand, there's this. And then you try to work out some sort of a decision or a solution. I think it's great.
Fiddler on the Roof runs through July 14th, barringtonstageco.org for showtime and ticket information, barringtonstageco.org. Brad, Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful remaining time here on this main stage. Wonderful to have you both here.
And again, congratulations to you both on an excellent, wonderful production.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.